Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So yesterday, Fireball Hot Take Friday, live at Third and Home. Sounds tonight at 7 o'clock. It's looking a little gloomy.
Yeah, not great. But, I mean, fingers crossed it holds off for the Sounds game.
Just looking a little
gloomy. You can enjoy your fireworks.
Oh, I will be at the Sounds game. True story. And it's funny because one of my best friends, Cody Iggy, used to play in the major leagues for a little bit. He was a Triple A. They were playing the Sounds. And they were in town, and there was a game in which it was a beautiful day. And then all of a sudden, like, the clouds opened, and it just monsooned. And I was up in the press box just kind of hanging out because we were like, you know, I was 26 at the time, and he was like 25 at the time. Mm-hmm. And we had gone to college together, and we'd really spent like our post-college like years together where it's like now you're making some money and you're not in college.
Right.
And that may
be. You can afford to do more fun things.
I would say that may be like the highlight, you know, of life for the fun element of it. And so he's in town playing the Sounds, and it just monsooned like crazy. Well, I was inside, so I was good. So, you know, hopefully tonight for everybody coming out here, it will not monsoon out there, and we'll have a great game of baseball tonight for the Sounds and a lot of fireball to be had. Now, the college football playoff, the long way around this is the college football playoff is going to expand to 12 teams. Now, there's a bunch of steps that are required before the college football playoff actually expands to 12 teams. But the reality is it is going to expand to 12 teams. No doubt about it. It will expand eventually to 12 teams. And yesterday I lost my bananas discussing the idea of a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, you're big on it.
I just don't think it's necessary. I think it's ignoring common sense. I think common sense is 8 teams. 3 wild cards, 5 at large or 5 automatic qualifiers, 3 at larges. We play, you know, what, 4 games with the 8 teams.
With the 5 through 12.
Yes. And, you know, we play. Like, I'm talking about, like, you know, you get 8 versus 1, you get 2 versus 7. I mean, it's the Elite 8, basically.
That was my vision for 8 teams.
I think that's.
And I loved it.
Common sense. Today, I'm listening to Darren Donick and Chase. Mark Howard is in with Willie. And I hear Mark talking about, oh, this works for everybody. And I heard somebody else talk, and they said, this is the right thing for everybody, except for this stupid rule about there being no home games in the college football playoff. And that's just so wrong for fans to tell fans that they need to go to a conference championship game, a first-round game, a second-round game, and a championship game. That's too much to ask of fans. And I heard that, and I go, first of all, that's the least stupid part of all of this. The stupidest part. I mean,
if fans want to travel and go to games, they can travel and go to games. If they don't, they don't have to.
What about basketball? We ask Kentucky basketball fans, go to Nashville, go to Des Moines, Iowa, go to East Rutherford, New Jersey, go to San Antonio. Like, we ask them in basketball. I don't understand what's different about football. But that's not by the point. Where did this idea that this 12-team playoff is good for everybody come from? It waters down the sport. And I don't know if you've seen with other sports, mainly the NBA, but watering down the playoffs to a certain extent is not a good idea. And I know at the end of the day, we're going to end up with Alabama versus Clemson or Alabama versus Ohio State or Clemson versus Ohio State or something like that. I get it. I know. So it doesn't make a difference if it's 4, if it's 8, if it's 12. But I just don't feel the buzz. If we don't make it automatic for conference champions to get in, which this does, so I'm okay with that, the Power 5, and we give the little guy a shot, fine. But do we need 12 teams? And then that's a lot to keep up with. I mean, when your team is in the playoffs in these kind of sports, because there's two different ways it's done now in sports. Now that college football is no longer, you know, 1 versus 2, end of story.
Mm-hmm.
There's the NFL, MLB college football approach, which is it's hard to make the playoffs. Like, in baseball, it's gotten easier with the second wild card, but it's still hard to make the playoffs. And by August 1st, most teams know they're out. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I like that. I like the fact that you actually have to be good to make the playoffs in baseball. And then, honestly, the playoffs in baseball are kind of over in 3 weeks. You know, you get to the World Series, and then that's a whole thing. But, like, you know, the all the preliminaries are over in, like, 2 or 3 weeks. Basketball and hockey are the other two where it's like everybody makes the playoffs. Here's your participation trophy. I mean, some teams make the playoffs, and they lose, and the coach gets fired. Like, that's – in basketball, didn't somebody just get fired the other day when their team Brad Stevens, you know, Boston just totally changed everything after they lost in the first round. Like, that is not something new. I mean, that's because making the playoffs is not a big deal. And I just feel like in college football, everybody tells me what, okay, this is the 2018 lineup that we would have seen. This is the 2017 with these 12 teams. This is the – I don't need 12 teams. I don't need to water down the sport. I don't need three lost teams getting into the playoffs. I don't need last year's Indiana team getting into the college football playoff. I mean, we're already going to change the rules anyways just so the teams we like can get in, just like they did last year when they changed the rules for Ohio State to get in when they hadn't played enough games. It's just like it's all bull crap, and I'm just struggling with this idea that, again, not to jump on Mark Howard, but I don't understand. This is good for everybody? How is it good for everybody? It's good for everybody because the conferences make more money and more teams get to go and more tickets are sold and ESPN has more games to show. And I get that that's, I guess, good for everybody, but I don't think expanding the NBA playoffs is good for everybody. I don't think expanding the baseball playoffs, which they're going to do after this year, when a new CBA is passed, I don't think that's in the best interest of that sport. I mean, I think there is a serious give and take. I think the NFL, and I worry about this because once the NFL goes to 7 teams per conference, they're eventually probably going to go to 8 teams per conference, but at least the NFL threw up the stop sign of saying, no, we're not just going directly to 8, you know, or we're going to 17 games, we're not going to 19 games or 20 games or something like that, because I do think that if the NFL does that, it will ultimately eventually hurt the interest in the sport.
And that's what I worry about with college football, is that if you expand to 12 now, then what's the next expansion? 16? 20? 25 teams?
I don't believe in that, and I know what you're talking about. I don't believe in the worry of, well, we can't do this, what makes sense, because what's next? If we do this, then we have to do – I don't totally believe in that. And I've told you, like, historically – like, there are a lot of things that I probably agree with where 10, 15 years ago it was, well, if we allow this, then what?
That's true.
Like, remember the whole marijuana thing in Colorado?
Right.
That was like, if we make this legal, then what? Are we going to have people on the corners with crack pipes just out? Like, and it hasn't become that. It's been a major boon to the state of Colorado. So I don't completely believe that. But I'm just saying, like, the interest in college football, I think college football is somewhat of a regional sport. Like, I don't think people on the East Coast care about college football. I don't think people on the West Coast care about college football. I think people in the middle of the country, people in the South care about college football. And I just think this is like too much. You know, it's too much of just letting people in, having buys. And then again, the idea of everything being neutral site and that being a problem, I have no idea where that came from. But I find that to be hysterical. Like, the idea of everyone now being like, this is wrong to have neutral site games and all this. And I'm thinking, okay, let's hold the phone for a second. What's wrong with neutral site games?
Neutral site games are so cool. Like, and it makes it feel like a playoff
game.
So
why are people mad about that?
I didn't know people were mad about the neutral site games.
I mean, people are like, no, these need to be home games in college football. It's too much to ask the fans. I think Andy Staples wrote it too in The Athletic. It's too much to ask the fans to travel to 3 playoff games and a conference tournament. And I just, again, Kentucky basketball, when Kentucky basketball's road to the Final Four is never in Lexington. It is always some form of Nashville. I think when they went to the championship in 2014, I think were an 8 seed or a 9 seed. And their road to the championship that year was Atlanta, St. Louis, Indianapolis, which is rather close to Lexington, but again, not Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
and Dallas.
And how much blue do you think was in those stands?
They had enough.
Enough.
And again, I don't think this is going to be the idea of you got to ask Alabama fans to travel to four different things.
You know
I
what?
Think
some, Alabama fans are going to travel to four different things.
Well,
no matter
I think
what.
Some Alabama fans are going to go to one game. Another Alabama fan's going to go to another game. There's enough Alabama fans to fill it out.
But if we're worried about the fans
we're not,
traveling,
we're
look,
not.
Look.
We're not worried about that.
No.
So forget about that. But the fact that that's what people are saying is the only bad thing, I think is ridiculous. I think that a 12-team playoff is stupid. I think it is overdoing it. I think it is watering it down. I think it is all just to make money in what is in theory a nonprofit business, but we know better than that. I mean, again, and then today I just felt like when everybody heard 12, it was like 12 teams in the playoffs, forget that. And now that a day's passed, I feel like everybody's like, yeah, 12, that makes sense. And I'm like, no, not for me. 615-737-1025, I'm still against it. I will always be against a 12-team playoff. And maybe I sound like an old peepop. That's okay. Deep down inside, maybe I am an old peepop. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And then here's the question I really do want to know. Why do I hate this so much? Like, why does the idea of a 12-team playoff make me sick to my core? Like, even I have a hard time articulating it other than the fact that I think it waters it down. But why? What am I missing? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman & Company, live from the Whole Selling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Today we are third and home at First Tennessee Park, First Horizon Park. It is Stillman & Company against Sounds game tonight. So I also wonder if other people feel the same way. Fireball Center Whiskey. Nothing goes down so smooth and tastes as good as ice-cold Fireball Center Whiskey. It is the best. And I've always told people that I'm a huge fan that when it's time to celebrate, especially during the summer, there's nothing better than Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That is your favorite whiskey, Fireball Cinema Whiskey, a true whiskey, my favorite whiskey, Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company live at Third and Home. Big Sounds game tonight. That's right, I'm going. This Father's Day, ESPN 102.5 The Game is saluting frontline fathers. Submit written descriptions of fathers who are serving on the front lines, including military, hospital workers, firefighters, or police. The week of June 14th, 102.5 The Game will air those submissions via call-ins, text messages, our website, and social media. Visit thegamenashville.com now for more information. So I can't... The college football playoff is going to 12 teams. It's going to go that route. Like, all the power brokers that matter have all submitted this proposal, and now there's all a bunch of red tape. But let's be real. It's going to go to 12. And I can't understand why I hate it so much, but I hate it. From the second that I have heard the idea that it would be 12, I hated it. So Executive Director Bill Hancock of the college football playoff, who for years argued that 2 was the right amount, and then for years argued that 4 was the right amount. Bill Hancock, and I don't know what his other interviews go like when he does the media circuit at SEC Media Days, but Bill and I, when we have our interviews, contentious is not the right word. But, I mean, it is a 12-round knockout fight. I mean, it is a visit to the dentist chair for Bill Hancock because he says so much crazy stuff. And yet now Bill is telling us 12 is right. Now, Bill said 2 was the right number. Now Bill's saying 4. Bill's now trying to tell us it's 12. So he was on the Paul Feinbaum show on ESPN Radio, and Paul Feinbaum asked him about how people feel about the 12-team playoff. Here's what he said.
Really interested in your thoughts on the way this news has broken and been digested by the many, many millions of college football fans all over.
Oh, overwhelmingly positive. If this gets to the finish line, and as you know, it's a long way from the finish line, it will be good for college football. And it's all about just more participants, more participation. And as you, people have told you, I know, this is a small working group of people who made this recommendation, and we are a long way from that finish line. But you can see it out there.
So he says, oh, it's just been great. I mean, the fan reaction has been fantastic. Has it been fantastic?
in my perspective, I felt an overwhelming feeling of what? Like, why? I think a lot of people are good with eight. And, like, I've also heard an overwhelming of, like, why do we even need to expand it at all? A lot of people like four. I personally am all for eight. It gives more teams an opportunity to be in there. It gives more opportunity for non-Power 5 conferences to get into the college football playoff. 12 is just too many. It's too many. And for these teams who are playing in conference championships but don't necessarily win them. Like, for example, we looked at what this model would look like last year, and Florida would be in that 12-team model, but in the 5 through 12 because they lost the conference championship. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me Florida would play a conference championship, a first-round playoff game, a second-round playoff game, and then eventually the championship if it would get that way. That's kind of a lot of extra games, and, like, they're football players. They can do it. You know, they're playing for a championship. I'm not going to say, oh, boo-hoo, these poor kids who have to play for a championship. But, like, that's a lot of extra games. And if you're entering the NFL draft, are you going to risk injury and play three extra games?
So I think they are, but I also can't tell you that they would. But I think they are. But, I mean, here's my thing with college football. It's all kind of felt phony lately anyways, hasn't it? Like, college basketball feels so phony.
It feels different.
And so fake.
And I,
like,
wonder
the kids
if that was
don't
fans.
Care, and they play basketball, but then, like, you know, do they love the school? It just doesn't feel the same anymore. And college football, I think, if you got guys that are like, no, I mean, it's one thing to say, no, I'm not playing in the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. It's another thing to say, no, I'm not playing three playoff games. Like, I'm going to the NFL.
I hear that.
That will totally ruin college football if we start getting that sentiment. And it only takes one good player to get hurt in one of those and lose their draft stock and never make it in the NFL to all of a sudden now, what is the college football championship really about?
And that's what I fear, is an eventual setting of a precedent where they don't want to play in the postseason. And I don't think that would happen because, as we said, that's why you play in the NFL. That's why you play college football, is to win a national championship and to bring a trophy home. It just feels like so much, and it feels like a lot, and it feels like, you know, where's the sanctity of the college football playoff? If you have three losses, you can probably still get in. That's a lot of losses for college football, and that's my favorite part about college football, is that every single game matters. If you lose a game, your chances at the playoffs now are much lower. You know, eight teams widens that a little bit. You know, every game still matters, but maybe, you know, a Cincinnati can get in. A Texas A&M would get in when traditionally in the four-team playoff, they wouldn't. So it opens it enough and not, but it maintains the sanctity. I think 12 waters down the regular season a little bit. You may see star players, you know, you may see an Alabama five-star recruit sitting out the Vanderbilt game because they don't necessarily want to risk when they know they're going to the postseason and maybe playing two, three, four extra games. I'm just not for it.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Your phones are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim is up next on the college football playoff. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Jared. Caroline kind of stole my thunder, but I think maybe be bothering you is it does water down the sanctity of the regular season. It's going to be two lost teams get in, maybe even a three-loss team. What does that mean for the regular season? Right now, every single game is critical. You lose one game, you're possibly on the outside. So it takes away from the regular season. And then what you were starting to allude to, Jared, is, you know, late in the season when an Alabama is going to play, you know, whoever it may be, Vanderbilt. Hell, man, you can sit half your team and win, yep, not even have to worry. So it waters it down overall. I'm not in favor of 12 teams. I'm not even in favor of 8 teams. I like 4 teams. It creates controversy. Yeah, everyone's pissed off when their team is number 5 and doesn't get in. Tough luck. Next year, win more games. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I mean, I would say this. I'm not as sold about the sanctity of the regular season and that being the biggest issue, only because I do think it's going to make some of these conference races more fun. Like, let's take the Pac-12, for example, where they play 9 games. If the winner of the Pac-12 automatically goes to the college football playoff, then it makes a big Pac-12 game in November more important, even if that team has lost 2 games. It's kind of like the NFL playoffs. I'm still probably not going to watch that Pac-12 game, especially if I have to stay up late and watch it. I'm probably not going to watch that Pac-12 game.
I love a Pac-12 after dark.
See, I don't.
Oh, it's like the chaser that you need at the end of a college football day. Like, you know, like give me Oregon, Arizona State. I love it.
Yeah, see, I'm doing the Titans pregame show the next day.
Mm.
So the Pac-12 after dark, when it's, and I love Herm Edwards, but a Pac-12 after dark, doesn't do it for me. I mean, just does not move the needle for me to stay up and watch. So I see a little bit of the idea that, let's take the SEC, for example. In the SEC, if you lose two games, you're probably out of the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody loses one or two games, let's say Auburn has two losses, but then they play Alabama at the end of the year and the winner goes to Atlanta, then it brings some more relevance to that game. So I can see where it would hurt the regular season, but it would also help the regular season. I just think, like, do I really want to commit to 4 weeks of college football postseason?
I have no problem with that.
I already have the NFL.
Love it.
And then the other thing is, when are they going to play these games? Are they going to play these games, like, on Tuesday nights? Because do not play your game at the same time the Titans are playing the Indianapolis Colts. Do not play these games at the same time that I'm watching the NFL. Because I am not. Yeah, some people have been college over the NFL, but I know the college is smart enough. It's funny. The NFL used to not play on Saturdays because that was college's day. And then when college would be out, the NFL would play a couple of games on Saturday. And you always see that, like, in late December.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a couple of NFL games, like usually a triple header. One's on Fox, one's on NFL Network, one's on, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
I think now the NFL is kind of like, nah, if we want to play, we'll play. Because remember, college pushed a lot back last year in order to get the season to flow right. And the NFL had games on Saturdays at the same time. College had games on Saturdays, and I'm not sure the NFL missed a beat. I mean, college used to be Thursday night. They used to have big college games on ESPN. Now the NFL's like, we're taking that. So I would be curious as to where college would want to move those games if that's in fact what they wanted to do.
And this seems kind of like a money move, and so I don't think that anyone in the powers that be would risk losing money or risk making less money with a scheduling conflict. It's avoidable.
I don't think you can lose money doing this, but I'm not sure if they make money. You know, Major League Baseball, for example, signed a contract with CBS in the late 80s that took place in the 90s that I think was a three-year just unmitigated disaster for CBS. Like, if you go back and look up how much money CBS was paying baseball, I don't think baseball has ever gotten that kind of money from CBS ever. Like, I don't think, like, or ever since then, I don't think baseball's gotten that kind of money. But I could see college going into it the first go-round and getting X amount of dollars and then getting less dollars the second go-round. But I don't think they're going to lose money even if the games aren't as popular long-term.
But I hear you.
That's just me. 615-737-1025. We'll hit the headlines with Caroline coming up next. The Nashville Predators and 1025 The Game jointly host a 615-day celebration presented by Social Furniture at the Ford Ice Center Bellevue, benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee this Tuesday during the 12-hour window from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 1025 The Game will be broadcasting live from the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue. Fans will have multiple opportunities to take the ice during a donation-based public skate session. Draft Picks Restaurant and Bar will be open as well. And the Ford Ice Center Bellevue parking lot will be overflowing with food, drink, and beverage options. So get excited about that. Plus, tons of stuff you can do. The Predators Foundation, empowered by Smile Direct Club, will have a silent auction, which will be live until 6:15 on June 15th. Text PREDS to 76278 to bid on exciting sports merchandise and signed Predators apparel. 100% of the proceeds will go directly to charity. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/615day. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. The company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on YouTube and Periscope via Twitter, so check that out. Big day of Caroline's gambling coming up. You did inch a little bit closer. Yours truly had a terrible thing. Thank God for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Seriously.
Of all people. So we will have that.
I mean, I was watching that game and I thought, come on.
We will have that at the end of the show. We will have Caroline's coming up. We are live at 3rd and Home in Germantown. And that is the bar with the ballpark staring right into left field for tonight's Sounds game against the Indianapolis Indians. But it is time now for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company. Right here on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
A little tidbit from Adam Bingen. The Predators just announced that Bridgestone Arena has lifted its mask mandate for fully vaccinated guests.
Yes, according to the release they just sent out. Apparently, they have a historically busy slate of events with the Cinch World's Toughest Rodeo. You going to participate in that? That might be where you should savage your beer, is at the Cinch's World's Toughest Rodeo.
I feel like I haven't been the first or the only person to savage a beer at the rodeo.
I think they need to put you on the screen at the rodeo, and you need to savage your beer there.
I think I could just, like, just make this my thing, no matter where I go. Go to the grocery store, savage a beer. You know, go to a rodeo, savage a beer. Also, rodeos, very fun. I went to the Houston Rodeo one year.
Never been.
It was a blast.
Never been to the rodeo, but I'm not against the rodeo either.
Great opportunity to wear jorts. Great opportunity to just act like a fool and not, you know, not be embarrassed about it.
Let me say this about the mask mandate. I went to the CMT Awards the other night, and
how was it?
It was fine, but what bothered me was the CMT Awards felt very much like an award show from November of this past year or September of this past year.
Like heart of COVID.
Sure. Like there was nobody in the building. There were like people on the floor that were socially distanced and people that were kind of in a couple of the sections. And then we were obviously, you know, on the, the suite level. And
right. It
just was like, what's the point of telling everybody? And this isn't the Preds' fault or Bridgestone Arena's fault. This is a CMT thing.
Right.
But like, what's the point of telling everybody to get vaccinated if everybody who is vaccinated can't act like they were in normal times? If you had it in September, if you had an award show that was completely socially distanced with performances all over Nashville and made it a television show like the CMT Music Awards are,
mm-hmm.
I'd have been fine with it. But like,
there were so many cool live concerts like broadcasted in the middle of COVID.
Sure.
And everyone from their homes.
And that's
really cool.
Fine. But I'm over it now. I mean, like every performance. I think there were like maybe 4 or 5 performances, maybe less, at Bridgestone Arena. I mean, it was one of my buddies was up for an award, and he didn't win. And he said, you know, I thought we weren't going to win when they didn't invite us to come. And I'm like, yeah, like it was so weird. Ooh. Because 2 weeks ago, I was at Bridgestone Arena for a packed house for a Preds playoff game, and it felt like normal. And then I was at the CMT Awards on Wednesday. And again, I had fun at the CMT Awards, and I was glad I was able to go. But I'm glad that Bridgestone Arena is putting it out there that if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. I have no idea how they're going to go about checking that since everybody gets all worked up and all bent out of shape and all everything else whenever it comes to vaccinations and telling people what to do. So I don't know how they're going to check that. I think it's just kind of like on the honor system. But if you're vaccinated and you go to the arena, you should be fine. And if you're not vaccinated and you go to the arena and you choose not to wear a mask, well, that's kind of on your, you know, kind of that's
on you.
That's kind of on you. So, and I understand the element of people with immune disorders and things like that.
Totally
that
understand.
Make that tough.
Make your decision for yourself.
But at the same time, like even me, who has gotten vaccinated, who was a believer in wearing masks, who all these things, even I'm like, all right, it's time to get back to normal. And so it's good to see Bridgestone Arena back to normal.
And it's totally okay to want things to get back to normal.
Sure.
Because a lot of things feel back to normal. It feels really great.
Sure.
We talked yesterday about a Tuukka Rask lingering injury, and they were pretty cryptic about it.
Shocker, Tuukka Rask has a lingering injury. First of all, I know I'm saying he's not injured. Everybody's injured this time of the year. Loser's cramp with Pecorino. Pecorino would never say that. Loser's cramp with Tuukka Rask is the least surprising thing this week.
That's like if you like run in a race and you're like, wait, not fair. Like I pulled my hamstring. Like when you lose, it's all of a sudden like you have an injury. But he announced to reporters today that he will be getting surgery on his on a torn labrum in his hip. So I didn't know that a labrum was a body part. I thought that was something that you just made up earlier because you did say labrum. I thought that's something that you made up, but it is a real body part.
You have a labrum in your shoulder and a labrum in your hip. I have a torn labrum in my hip.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's all degrees of the labrum tear. So
okay.
My guess is Tuca's tear is a little bit more severe than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But one day it was after I had COVID, and I was getting back into the swing of exercising again.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to my buddy who's the baseball strength coach at Louisville, and I asked him, you know, like, what's the return to competition like? You know, so that I could get a sense of how to work myself back into working out again. And the last one was you start to ramp up the intensity. So I went on a run. And on the walk back, I felt something like in my like groin area that didn't feel right. So I thought it was like a pulled groin or something. And I went and got it looked at. And it's a tiny labral tear in the hip. And like sometimes like laying down a certain way will really bother it. Or a long walk will bother it, but something like leg pressing won't affect it that much.
Weird.
So, yeah, I've never felt anything like it. My physical therapist told me, I should say mine, the physical therapist, told me that a lot of people have labral tears and they just go about their day with them. And then there's the extent of labrum tears. The surgery is pretty extreme. So I would say that as far as the labrum tear is concerned with Tuca, in order to get the surgery, either it's really extreme or he's got an extreme case of loser's cramp. And I think if it's that extreme from what I've been told about labrum tears, Jeremy Swayman should have been in goal for the Bruins.
And I'm not going to say it's loser's cramp because he is getting surgery on it. But
wouldn't be the first guy, though, to get surgery on a loser's cramp.
Really?
Sure.
Ah, the egos that we have been talking about today, just astronomical. Not saying that's what's happening with Tuukka Rask, but the report in The Athletic did say that he would be out until 2022, which I don't really understand because, like, the Bruins are out. So is he going to be starting next season?
Well, I told you that.
I don't think that he comes
back. A labrum
back.
Tear. Like, again, the surgery. Like, a lot of people have these labrum tears
mm-hmm.
in their hip, and they just deal with it. And then a lot of people that have the surgery, it is a very intense and invasive surgery from what I've been told.
I think that the expectation for Tuukka Rask, I mean, until 2022, in my understanding, that's in 2022 he's starting.
Well, he's not on a team, but I think it would be his contract's up. So I'm thinking it would be like, okay, he signed. Who's a team that needs goalie help? Washington? He signs with Washington, and he's just not playing in October, November, or December,
mm-hmm.
but he's back in January or February, and Washington could, in theory, use him for a cup.
I get that. I don't know. He's 34 years old. You're getting an incredibly invasive surgery on an area that's pretty important for a goalie. Mm-hmm. I just don't see him coming back, and I would not be surprised to see Tuukka Rask retire.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him retire either, but the reason I wouldn't be surprised to see him retire is because I just think he's had enough. Like, I just don't think mentally he enjoys this like he used to, and I think he's probably had enough.
And that's fine. It's okay. You're entitled to that.
Sure.
Also, we mentioned that the Predators have the 18th pick in the NHL draft.
They do.
So, just looking at the grand scheme of sports, we're looking at the NFL draft. Jalen Phillips was drafted in the 18th
sure.
position. Alex Leatherwood was drafted in the 17th position, which was kind of the funkiest pick, so it's not really like a fair view of that little area of the NFL draft. But just looking at that 18th spot, 18 of 31, there's going to be some really solid players available in that 18th slot. But I just worry about what the Predators are going to do with it. Because they have the possibility to pick up someone really great who could contribute big time whenever they're ready in a few years down the road. I just worry about what they do with it.
Yeah, I mean, they got to start drafting and developing players. I mean, this idea of running out, you know, Brad Richardson in a playoff game over a guy you drafted in the first round, you cannot long-term succeed doing that. The idea of running out Ben Harper over a guy that you drafted in the first round, you can't do that. The trading the first round picks that they've done, it's caught up to them. And I think that you're right. I mean, I think that they need Tomasino to hit, and I think they're going to need this first round pick to hit as well. Those are headlines with Caroline. Week one is on the table for this month as far as Caroline's is concerned. Caroline inched closer, and I only have a game and a half advantage now. So a big Caroline's is coming up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman and Company, Caroline's, as we get set for the end of the first week of this month for the challenge. Caroline already lost the first month. She will have to savage a beer on the Jumbotron for everybody to see at some point. But you've got one chance, because yesterday you hit, well, terrible. Your picks were terrible. Like the games you picked, like the ones.
Like the matchups?
Like yours, yes. You Avs lost.
Lost.
Nets lost. Astros lost. But White Sox and the under, good.
That was a good game I picked.
Toronto lost over. That was me. And I hit on Milwaukee on the money line. How I got that right, I will never know.
See, the teams that were really supposed to win, like the Avs were supposed to win last night. The Nets were supposed to win last night. But they just decided not to.
Mm-hmm. So with that, it's time for the end of week number one of this month for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So I'm going to switch up my picks a little bit. I normally do an MLB, an NHL, and an NBA.
Before I get you off.
Yeah.
Caroline Fenton, 8-9-1. Yours truly, 10-8.
Okay, so things are getting interesting.
That's what I'm saying. Today's a big day.
Spicy. Switching my picks up a little bit. Normally I do an NBA, MLB, and NHL, but it is the NBA playoffs, and there's a big fight tomorrow night, so I'm going to make my pick for that fight. It is Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vettori, and I do not claim to be a UFC genius insider by any means. Blood scares me. But I'm going to go with Marvin Vettori, and I think Israel Adesanya will win, but if you're betting on this fight, Marvin Vettori is plus 260 at the moment. So just throwing a few dollars on him would be worth it. And I have looked into some fight insight, and they've said that whenever Marvin Vettori, in every single one of his losses, he has been neck and neck with his opponent, and it's just he kind of falls off. So he's not as consistent. He doesn't have as much longevity as Israel Adesanya. But he does have more experience. Marvin Vettori is 4-4 in the UFC. So give me him just on the odds.
Ian, what do we know about these fighters?
I could not tell you, man. I'm sorry. I do not watch UFC.
Okay, so I am going to take Vettori as well.
Wow.
Only because I don't know anything about these fighters.
I know nothing.
And I think when you said that you think Adesanya will win, but then you wanted to take the odds, I think that was you trying to convince me to take Adesanya.
It wasn't. That
and
was just
so I,
that was me telling
I'm
the
taking
people.
Vettori because I think you're trying to convince me to take Adesanya.
I'm playing no mind games here. I'm just giving the people what they want. I'm just trying to make the people money.
Mm-hmm. What's next?
So we also have Suns Nuggets tonight, and I mean the Suns are unstoppable, it feels like. But I'm gonna take the Nuggets on the money line. I believe they are Minus 110 tonight? I think they're favored tonight. The Suns have been incredible. The Nuggets are also a really, really good team. So I don't think that the Suns go up 3-0. I do think that the Suns win this series, but I don't think the Nuggets go down without a fight. They have the MVP this season on their team. He's scoring 24 points and 13 rebounds in game two. I think he keeps it up. Give me the Nuggets.
I'll take Denver -2 on here as well. I think that the coach called out the team after the game, and I think you get a bounce back for the next game. Mm-hmm. Just like when Rod Brendamore called out the refs, I think you get a bounce back for the next game. I'm not sure that calling out the team is a good answer long term.
Mm-hmm.
And if things don't go their way today, the coach, I forget his name, Malone, he may have honestly lost the team the way that these NBA players are such crybabies nowadays. So I think Denver gets it done. I'll go Denver -2.
Also going to take Philadelphia -1.5, -110. Sixers, Hawks tonight. And the game is in Atlanta. But Joel Embiid was a big front runner for MVP. And he didn't win. And he made a statement when he was not announced MVP. He went off for 39 points, and he's been averaging about 39 points per game, 25 for 46 in the postseason. Give me the Sixers. Give me Joel Embiid all day. And that's nothing to say that Trae Young isn't absolutely incredible, but I think the Sixers know that they need to get it done on the road if they're going to get it done in this series.
So I am going to take the Hawks plus 1.5. I think that Atlanta will win the first game.
Mm-hmm.
In Atlanta, they'll lose the second, and then it'll be one of those best of fives. I think Philly is a very emotional team, so after they got crushed in game one,
mm-hmm.
I think that they responded in game two. And so I think Atlanta evens up, or doesn't even up the series, but Atlanta keeps home court for today. I think the Hawks, I think this is going to be great. I think these are great young players that are playing in the league.
These are some great NBA matchups.
Denver has Jokic, and Phoenix has Devin Booker. I think Trae Young, Joel Embiid. I think it's great NBA play. I'm going to take Nate McMillan and the Hawks. I think they'll win this one. I am going to make a money line projection where the line has not even been set, but this is for Sunday. Caroline's going to need this if Caroline wins. I am taking the Tampa Bay Lightning at home in game number one against the New York Islanders in the Stanley Cup semifinal. I think that Tampa Bay, I think Barry Trotz has been fantastic as far as the Islanders are concerned, but I think Tampa Bay is playing at an unbelievable level. The talent is matching up with where the Lightning are. I'm going to take Tampa Bay Sunday on the money line.
I believe in Barry Trotz. Give me the Islanders.
You have no other choice either.
I don't. Nope. Give me the Islanders.
Anything other than you believing in Barry Trotz?
I thought that the Bruins-Islanders series would go longer than it did. I thought that the Islanders had a huge statement win in that final game against the Bruins. And I think that they made the Bruins, a very good hockey team, look like not a very good hockey team. And I think that they had the capability to do that against Tampa Bay. And I do think that Tampa Bay comes out of the series in the end, but I think the Islanders pick up a couple dubs in the way.
It should be noted that the Islanders are 11-13-4 this season away from Nassau Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay at home, 21-7-0.
Ooh.
I also would say this. I wouldn't take for granted what Tampa Bay just did to Carolina.
That's,
and I know the Predators played
fair.
Carolina close, and I told you that I thought when I saw Nedeljkovic in person that he was going to get just lit up by Tampa Bay, and he did. But Tampa Bay right now, Braden Point's playing his butt off. They got Nikita Kucherov back, Andre Vasilevskiy in net. To me, I don't think it's very close. I think Tampa Bay takes game one. That's going to do it for us. Caroline needs Philadelphia to win tonight, and she needs the Islanders to win on the money line, or else she's going to lose week number one and be up against the eight ball again for the second time.
Man, help me out, Joel.
We'll
your
see.
Girl is solid.
I don't want to celebrate before anything happens. That's going to do it for us. Speaking of Caroline's money line with Ryan Porth and Elijah Campbell in for Chase McCabe, that's next. We're here third and home where the sounds have a big one tonight against the Indianapolis Indians. We'll see you all Monday at 2.